This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. Courtney Love is best known as the widow of Kurt Cobain, who led the groundbreaking band Nirvana in the early 90s.
I'm so happy, 'cause today found my friends in my head.
But Love has done plenty to make a name for herself. She's sold millions of albums with her former rock band Hole. She's been in movies, getting deserved acclaim for her role in The People vs. Larry Flint. And then there are the headlines about drug use and scandalous behavior of various kinds. Today, at age 42, Courtney Love wants to put all that hard living behind her, she says, and she's starting with a book. It's called Dirty Blonde, The Diaries of Courtney Love. It's a scrapbook of journal entries and photos and scribbled lyrics from her whole long, troubled life. Love told our producer Trey Kay that she wanted to share what she's been through without smoothing the reality into anything like a memoir. And even on good behavior, Courtney Love has some rough edges and salty language. So if you are listening right now with children, heads up.
And the sky was made of amethyst. And all the stars were just like little fish. You should learn when to go. You should learn how to say no.
When I heard Courtney Love scream on the first Hole album, it felt like she was reaching into my gut, grabbing my spine, then shaking me hard before throwing me across the room.
I am doll eyes, doll mouth, doll legs. I am doll arms, big veins.
In the video for the song Doll Parts, she sits on a bed in a white slip, strumming an acoustic guitar.
You know, someone once said to me, you know, you're that girl that the boys want to screw but then never tell their friends.
I'm not sure if I'm going to cop to that. But I will say that years ago, when Hole was popular and I was dating my wife, Eleanor, she dressed up to look like Courtney for Halloween. And I kind of dug it.
I love him so much, it just turns to hate.
I'm going to be asking
no,
these
I
questions.
Just need these comments.
When her entourage whirled into our studio, Courtney whipped into rock diva mode.
Can I just have the coffee because I'm going to die?
Okay.
How hard is it to get coffee? We're in New York. It's like Coffee Central.
Courtney in person is kind of scary. I was afraid she might throw something at me like she did to obnoxious fans at her concerts.
All right. I'm going to go get coffee because if you don't do it yourself, it won't happen. I'll be right back.
Know what to do.
Finally, the latte arrived.
So we're rolling. Okay.
I'm wearing these glasses to look smart, but they're just bugging me.
Take them off.
So go back.
Look stupid. No, I'm just
dumb blonde.
So we're there to talk about Courtney's new book, Dirty Blonde. It contains diary entries from all parts of her life: her music, Hollywood, the relationship with Kurt Cobain, the scandals, drug abuse, lawsuits, and her childhood.
My childhood was Dickensian, to be mild. You know, we didn't have much gruel at the orphanage I grew up in.
Her book contains institutional records from when she spent about 2.5 years in an Oregon reform school. When she'd get out of line, the staff would take her to a place called the quiet room.
The last part's a really scary thing because what they would do is they had tunnels underneath and they would put you in restraints, and then about 4 or 5 men would drag you into a room and they would restrain you.
Later, she transformed this frightening experience into a beautiful song.
You know, you can take the darkest hell and you can turn it into art.
Reading Dirty Blonde feels like finding a secret composition book. There are no captions or guiding text. Some places you have to work to understand what's going on. Around the middle of the book, there's a collage that appears to be 2 suicide notes. At first, I thought the notes were Cobain's. It turns out that they were written by Courtney after Cobain's suicide. Scrawled in red pen over the collage are the words, "I can't grow a new heart."
my decision to include what appears to be a suicide note from me, it looks like a suicide note, but I probably would never have done it. But, you know, I put it in there anyway. I almost didn't.
Shortly after Cobain took his life, Courtney launched into promoting Hole's debut album. Not long into the tour, the band's bassist died of an apparent drug overdose. During all of this, Courtney took little, if any, time to grieve.
I didn't go to a bereavement group or have psychiatric help. You know, I think that one of the reasons that it came around to bite me in the ass so many years later is because I never properly dealt with it, and it just festered.
I mean, did that drive you more into your drug use, or?
Yeah, less into creativity and more into drug use, yes.
But Courtney's career wasn't suffering. She made a splash as a co-star in Milos Forman's The People vs. Larry Flynt. And Hole's final record, Celebrity Skin, was considered one of the best albums of 1998. She left behind the grungy Seattle heroin scene and drank up the Hollywood lifestyle.
I'd be the girl that just didn't do coke. It just really grossed me out. And I got around fashion people. And then one night, I was sitting in a room. There was a Jackson Pollock on a wall and a Picasso on another wall and a naked Kate Moss and a naked Naomi Campbell and a guy named Bruno coming in with a platinum platter full of cocaine. And I said to my bass player, let's just try it. And then it just was all bad from then on.
When she was compiling her diaries, Courtney considered inserting a black page and writing the years 2000 through 2005. She calls them her darkest years. This is when she faced assault charges, temporarily lost custody of her daughter, Frances, and eventually went into drug rehab. How close was Frances to your drug abuse?
Actually, very far away. You know, I would go to hotels, I would come to New York. The thing that really bugged Frances the most of all the public humiliations and scandals was when I got fat. That drove her crazy. When they said you can't tell the difference between Courtney and Britney Spears pregnant, that's the culture that we live in. Drugs? She didn't care about drugs. As long as I wasn't on them around her, she didn't care, ever.
Courtney still writes letters to Kurt Cobain and tells him about the beautiful child they have.
I write him sometimes when I get really pissed off about stuff.
Do you feel kind of robbed that you don't have the chance to make this dialogue?
Yeah, what he did was really a terrible thing, what he did to her. And she is very aware of it. She wants nothing to do with the Nirvana business. You know, so the thing I've read about, you know, children who are victims of suicide is that they either take it upon themselves and blame themselves or they get angry. Thank God. I'd rather have her angry with him and pissed off at him than taking it out on herself, because her self-esteem is quite high.
I asked Courtney if she was bothered that her name would be forever linked to Kurt Cobain.
My name is going to be linked to Kurt's name, and it's going to be linked to other names, and that's just the way it goes. And okay, my name is going to be linked to my work and to the word stripper and to the word bitch and to the word idol and all sorts of words. And so, I mean, it's just part of my life.
When Courtney signed my copy of Dirty Blonde, she asked me if I would consider not talking so much about Kurt and Frances in my story. She wrote, I am me, not who I'm related to. Someday you will act like I ache. Someday you will act like I ache. For Studio 360, I'm Trey Kay.
You can find pictures from Dirty Blonde and more about Courtney Love at studio360.org.